Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. We're glad you're with us this week. In studio with me today is Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski, and he is more than ready to take your questions by calling 765-496-1999. You can also send your emailed questions to ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Well, first of all, congratulations on the re-election last week, and it wasn't a surprise necessarily. I mean, I think a lot of us who are watching the election expected it to happen, but is there still nervousness for you on election night when the returns are coming in?
Well, sure. And first of all, thank you, Stan, and thank you to all the citizens of Lafayette. We certainly appreciate their support in this last campaign and really their support over the last 12 years. We have a wonderful community where people work together to get good things done for the right reasons. And so that that makes it easier to be a mayor of this community. And I want to thank everybody that plays a role in that day in and day out to make Lafayette, West Lafayette and the county the great place that it is. But yeah, on a personal note, there's always a little bit of nervousness. I think if somebody tells you there's not, then they've probably lost that fire and that determination to really be in there and do the job. So there's always a little bit of nervousness. And, of course, we worked hard to keep our team together. You know, we have a great group of folks on city council and a great city clerk. And so we worked hard to keep those people in those positions that have made some great decisions, a lot of them over the last 12 years. It's been with me the whole way. To help things like the expansions at SIA happen, the new GE plant that's here in our community, Nonshawn, and expansions at Alcoa. So we're excited. We think the next 4 years looks very bright for their community. But, yeah, there's always a little nervousness, and I really do believe if that goes away, it's probably time to look to do something else.
I happened to encounter somebody who was there with you on election night, and I won't name names, but they said that you might have had a little more nervousness to see that, although you were comfortably ahead at each time we got numbers here in the studio, nonetheless, your opponent got almost 1,000 votes, and they said that you were sort of perplexed almost at how that had happened. What were you thinking when you were looking at your opponent's returns?
Well, you know, there's always going to be a certain number of votes, whether it's Democrats, Republicans, Independents, people vote for the party, and those. So there's always going to be some of that take place. And so we understand that. And, you know, for us, you know, we wanted to get in there, get our message out, which I think we did, and then get ready to move forward and to lay the foundation to be able to move forward. And I think for us, the best indicator for us is that I think people were happy with what we're doing. They feel good about the direction of the community. I think if that wasn't the case, we'd have probably had a much different opponent at a much different level. And so I think that's, for me, that's, you know, speaks volumes to what the team has been able to do and the relationships that we've been able to build and how we've really built ourselves a global reputation in economic development and advanced manufacturing and have a lot of quality of life initiatives underway, from all the stuff we're doing with public art to the Wabash River, the things we're doing with our parks and our trails, our bike pedestrian plan, our trail master plan. So I feel good about the city, and I think most people do, too.
And I want to talk about what you're doing about the river in just a minute. But I was looking at the election returns this morning, and I noticed that your opponent this year got about the same percentage of the votes as your opponent did 8 years ago. They were both right around 18%. And so you're kind of holding the line there at 82%. And it's tough to maintain what would seem to be almost an 82% approval rating as a public figure. Is that any sort of added pressure on you to know that in the last two contested elections you've had, the number has been that high? And so in a lot of ways, it's much easier to go down than it is to go up from there.
Well, I mean, you know, I kind of look at it as you come to work, you tell people what you're going to do. You work as hard as you can. You keep your energy, you keep your enthusiasm. And you just get the projects done. You help, you know, I love Lafayette. I want this to be the greatest place for people to live and to work, raise their families, all people from all walks of life. And so I come to work every day with that attitude. What can I do today to help make Lafayette better? I never stop thinking, and I really never stop working. And so I don't worry too much about the numbers at the end of the day. If it's 80% or, 60% or 90%, you know, we just keep trying to do the right thing. And, you know, it's gratifying that we're in the 80%. I think if you can get in 80% in any type of election, that's probably a good thing. And we've even had a year where we were even unopposed. And so I think, you know, 12 years is a long time, and you've got to do a lot of things during those period and work with a lot of people to make things happen. And then not everybody will agree with everything that you do, and we certainly understand that. But we hope that we do it in a way that people give us the benefit of the doubt that we're trying to do it for the right reasons. And I think we'll continue to do that and keep those numbers as high as we can.
There are not a ton of mayors who serve four terms or more. I mean, two is pretty common, three a little bit less so. Four, you're starting to get onto the outskirts of the people who have served among the longest in recent memory anyhow. Do you get any extra benefits or any extra cachet either with the party or with voters or with legislators knowing that you're about to enter a fourth term?
Well, I don't know about the party. I think everybody knows for me that, you know, when the election's over, we're not Democrats or Republicans. We're back to all citizens. And for me, that's over with. All that matters is getting projects done here in Lafayette. And so from a party standpoint, that's quite frankly irrelevant to me. But from a community standpoint, and I hope working with the legislators and people out in Washington that they see what we've been able to accomplish here in the community and by Lafayette and West Lafayette and the county, Purdue, Ivy Tech working together, that sense of cooperation, that spirit, the collaboration, how we use our resources collectively that makes us much stronger together. I kind of hope that they see that and they want to work with us because they know when they do, the chances for a very positive outcome that's good for our cities, the state of Indiana, and quite frankly, our country, with our advanced manufacturing base here, the work that's done at Purdue and the Purdue Research Foundation and the Purdue Research Park actually has a global implication. And so I hope that they do see that. And, you know, from my standpoint, I'm a much better mayor now than I was my first year for 4 years in office. This really is a job where experience matters, relationship matters, because we do a lot of operational things. You know, we do some policy work, but really we're about operations. We really are like running a business. We have to make payroll. We have to provide service. We have to do a lot of different things. There's 1,000 different activities that take place every day to keep the city of Lafayette running. So experience really does matter.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're chatting today with Mayor Tony Rzeworski of Lafayette. You can call in your questions at 765-496-1999. Send emails to ask@wbaa.org and tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. I wanted to ask you about the ballots, although they affected West Lafayette and not your city. Did you think that the voter turnout, which was only about 20% or so as I calculated it this morning, judging for all the people who voted for you, your opponent, and John Dennis, so the major races in Tippecanoe County, did you think that the ballot snafu on the west side had a deleterious effect on either the turnout or on the mood of people as they went to the ballot box?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think most people that vote and vote, you know, that it's really important to them and they're going to vote whether it's they think it's going to be a close election or not a close election, or if it's an off presidential year. I think those people are going to go vote, and we certainly appreciate that commitment. I mean, that's one of our basic rights as citizens, is that ability to vote. And so I think those people are going to go vote. And the other folks that I think that typically vote, most of the time make up their mind probably before they even heard any information about those ballot problems coming out. And I don't think that would probably deter somebody that wants to vote to go vote. Obviously, you know, it'd be good if those things didn't happen. We prefer to have an election where there aren't any problems. You don't want to ever decrease the confidence that the electorate would have in the election process in our community or in any community. So obviously the goal, I know, for the county election board and the county clerk's office is to have an election that doesn't have any issues like that come up, because I do think over time it could be detrimental if there were too many problems in the election process. But that specific incident related to this specific election, I don't think was a factor.
Well, that confidence issue was going to be my next question, which is since Indiana in the last 10 years or so has been doing a lot more with curtailing the number of vendors who can provide the balloting systems to the counties, and I think there are still only a handful of companies that are certified by the state to do that, even as that's happened and the state has tried to keep a close rein on that, there have been plenty of problems, not just here, but in many other counties as well. I covered an election in Monroe County a couple of years ago where it took 2 or 3 days to find out any numbers. And I'm wondering, do you think that there is something systemically wrong with the way the state might be handling this that is causing these voter numbers to go down? Because I looked also at the number of people who voted in your last contested election 8 years ago, and it was, I mean, you got yourself got about 50% more votes then than you did this year, despite the fact that your percentage was about the same. So a lot more people voted when there were fewer people in Lafayette, which to me signals like there might be a problem here.
Well, I think that's probably more in line with getting people excited about the elections, really getting back to some of our basic responsibilities. I don't know that that's related to the technology or to the actual systems that we use. And of course, here in Tippecanoe County, we use the vote centers. We don't use the old precinct system anymore. And I do know that people really, really enjoy the vote centers. I know that's something that makes voting much easier for people. You know, me personally, I would like to see early voting last a little bit longer. I'd like to see the days that we could use the paylesses expanded. I think those are really good options for people. It makes it very easy to do. So, you know, I'd like to see that expanded. As far as the equipment and the machines themselves, I think that, you know, you, as you correctly stated, that has been a problem. And I think the state does need to continue to look at that. We do need to continue to monitor that and make sure the safeguards are in place, that people are confident in our elections. And here I think, you know, we've done a fairly decent job of that. If you recall my very first election, there was actually a problem with the ballots, and there was problems with this precinct that had got entered in wrong that was split between two council districts. And that certainly became a long drawn out affair to the point where we, at the end of the day, we actually had to have a special election just for that council district. And we went through the entire process because I felt it was important that we do that. And I pushed for that. And at the end of the day, our candidate did end up winning that special election. But you weren't here at the time, but there was a time because of a ballot problem, we actually had to do a special election for one particular council district. I think we did it in February. The election, of course, was over November. By the time all the paperwork and legal wrangling was done and all the setup was put together, I think the election actually took place in February.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Call in your questions for Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski. 496-1999 is our telephone number. You can also email questions to ask@WBAA.org. I have had one listener question come in. They noted that the Lafayette Christmas Parade coincides time-wise with the Purdue PMO Christmas show, and they wondered about the scheduling and whether that would either benefit people because they'd be thinking about Christmas stuff and they'd try to do one or both, or would it take away potentially from the audiences of both because you've got them going on at the same time?
Yeah, that's been brought up on for several years. You know, Greater Lafayette Commerce organizes the Christmas parade for the community, and that's unfortunately does happen just the way the weekends work out and the way that the schedules are, and it probably does hurt a little bit because the Purdue Christmas show is a wonderful, wonderful show that a lot of people like to attend. And I know they've tried to talk about if they could ever change some of those dates, but with the way we do Dickens of a Christmas and the way Thanksgiving works out and the way Christmas and kicking off the shopping season, you know, sometimes those conflicts just aren't, it's just not possible to avoid those. So we certainly want to encourage everybody to try to do both if they can. They're both wonderful community events, and if people can get to both, we certainly would encourage them to do so. But if not, there's a lot for people to do. There's going to be a lot to do and a lot to do downtown this year, and we hope people get out and enjoy it.
While we're talking about the downtown area, on to other things. What's the latest on the meetings you're planning to describe the city's plans for that Riverwalk promenade that you're working on?
Yeah, earlier this week we did a presentation to the League of Women Voters down at the Tippecanoe County Public Library there, and that was kind of one of the first unveilings of kind of the schematic drawings that we have of the promenade. And as you know, that promenade is a piece of the development that will new development that will take downtown at 101 Main Street, which is a joint effort to be a new regional headquarters for Old National Bank, and then 99 luxury apartments units that will surround that, four stories of apartments. The first floor will be commercial and some underground parking, with that riverfront promenade being done through REC that actually does attach to the actual back of the new building and to Reilly Plaza. So we're really, really excited. I mean, it's really a vindication of our Wabash River Enhancement Corporation plan that we've been working on for many years. If you talk to Craig Von Dalen, he'll tell you he's read the plan. That's the reason he's here. He loves our downtown. He loves what we're doing with the public art, what we're doing with the biking, how we're making it pedestrian friendly, and the riverfront plan. He said that's a big reason why I'm investing in Lafayette. And so we're excited. That groundbreaking's coming up next week on the 20th, next Friday. So we're excited to see the building project get underway, and we're going to be coordinating the promenade project with the construction of the building. And our goal is to have both of those kind of finished simultaneously. And
what's the timetable on that?
Well, it'll take, we'll be all of next year, 16, and then probably into 17 to make all that happen. Again, a lot of things, as you know, here in Indiana become weather dependent. Just depends on what kind of winter we have and, of course, what kind of spring we have, how wet it is for all the work that will have to be done with the excavation and setting footers and foundations and different things like that. So some of that will be weather dependent. But within the next couple years, that corner of downtown is going to look dramatically different.
Has anyone come to you either at that League of Women Voters event or elsewhere and said, hey, I see this little thing in the plan that I'd like to change or that I think you should know about, people providing you feedback on the eventual design thereof?
Yeah, the League of Women Voters, we had a really nice turnout, maybe 60 to 70 people that were there. And we took some questions, and then afterwards I kind of stayed around to talk to people and that were looking at the boards that we also had up. And, you know, 99% of the comments were very positive, and even the ones that had the suggestions were very positive. And the suggestions were all the same. Was there was a concern that on the southern portion of the promenade where it goes over to Columbia Street, that piece was going to be difficult for maybe people that were in wheelchairs or had some type of disability that might make it more challenging. We have a very, very ADA accessible ramp that will start in Reilly Plaza. It goes up to about a 1-to-20 slope, which is way above the minimum standards, that gets you up to the top of the promenade there. And we're very happy to do that. But the people brought up a very good point, and that's why we do those. And I love hearing input from folks that we can get up there and we can enjoy most of it. But if we get to the southern end, it's going to be a challenge for us then to access Columbia Street or to move freely back and forth. And I took that seriously. And I've already contacted the designers that are working on it. I've already contacted Stan Lambert and said, hey, this is something that we need to look at. This is important to people and it's important to me. And so we appreciate that type of public feedback.
While we're talking about that neck of the woods, what's the latest on the Myers Pedestrian Bridge project? We've talked to you, I think, a number of times about this. You know, initially, to refresh people's memory, we thought maybe it'll be done in August, and then the railing issue happened, and then we heard, well, maybe September or October. Here we are in November, before the end of the year?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be glad when the day comes that you can't ask me this question anymore.
Sure.
So now we're still working on the railing issue. Most of that's worked out. The problem now is the paint that we need. It's a special paint. The city engineer told me there seems to be a shortage of that paint. Now that they fixed everything, they need to repaint it. So I think the paint's the holdup right now. But yeah, we're still hoping by the end of this year we'll have that done and opened up. And, you know, we're trying to make arrangements to help accommodate people. We were still able to hold the Veterans Day ceremony at Reilly Plaza this Wednesday, and I'm working with the veterans. I talked to them about the Pearl Harbor Day celebration that we'll have down there in December. So we're still trying to work with people to get those types of events done, but we're certainly hoping that by the end of the year we'll have that bridge done.
You ever getting the feeling this project is just kind of cursed?
You know, that's what the city engineer, she calls it the Bermuda Triangle project. So, but you know, you run into things like that sometimes when you work on old structures and you work over water. and down in the water, you know, different things come up. So we'll get through it. You know, we don't quit. I think you know that by now. We'll keep working on it till it's done and move forward.
Got about 10 more minutes with Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski on today's Ask the Mayor program here on WBAA. Call in your questions at 496-1999. Send your emails to ask, that's A-S-K, at WBAA.org. And you can tweet questions at WBAA News on Twitter as well. You were helpful a couple of weeks ago helping me get in touch with the person who's handling the installation and the change out of the new toters, the garbage and recycling toters. And he told me an interesting story, and I wanted to confirm it with you, which was he said, hey, we were really close to getting our last shipment, and then we opened the truck doors, and the toters were for some other place. They weren't necessarily for Lafayette. Is that true?
Yeah, they weren't for the they were for Lafayette, Colorado, or some other. They were for some other community. They were not our toters.
So. Some other community named similarly.
Yes. Yeah. So, yes. So those had to go back.
And so what's the timeline on getting everybody the end of theirs? Because now I'm assuming you're still waiting on getting the rest of
those
parceled out.
We're waiting on the last few of those, and I think it'll be shortly here within the next few weeks. And, you know, the operations have went very well. I want to commend the men and women of the street department and even water and wastewater who helped get those out. We got them out very efficiently, and I got an email the other day, and this is what you really, really hope for. It was from a citizen who said, hey, I just wanted to tell you, I've got both toters. I'm using them. To be quite frankly with you, I didn't believe in the program when you started it. I thought there's no way I can get my trash in the little one, and I'll never have that much recycling. And he said, but I decided to give it a try. And he said, it absolutely works. He said, the little one's plenty for my trash now that I appropriately recycle. It's as easy as just dropping it in the toter. And he said, whose ever idea that was, you tell him it was a good one. So, I mean, that's what we're, you know, hoping will happen, that people will use those and use them appropriately. We'll continue to be able and actually increase the amount of money that we're saving on tipping fees. That's one of the ways that we keep trash pickup in the city of Lafayette without any additional monthly charges. And so, you know, that was gratifying, and I think we'll continue to get those positive comments. I know there's still going to be a learning curve period and an education period over the next 6 months. But talking to Ron Berryman and his staff, I think within 6 months we'll just have that about right where we want to be.
I wanted to talk to you about something that I've seen in the last year or so, and that seems like there have been a whole lot of restaurants that have opened in the city. And it seems to me that there's a couple of categories that they fall into. You've got the big national chain that goes in a strip mall somewhere. Downtown, there's been a couple of diners that have opened, a couple of sports bars that are open now. And then lately, it's been a couple of like farm-to-table type restaurants. And so you have these few kind of silos of restaurant. And I'm wondering if the city ever looks at trying to find something that's really unique, something that would draw people in from far and wide because it's harder to find elsewhere. Or do you just think about we want the investment in terms of having lots of places for people to choose?
Yeah, I mean, we don't go out and really try to select restaurants to move here. We really let that be private sector market driven. When you talk about the big national chains and different things like that, I mean,
so they approach you.
Yeah, they approach us. We try to let the market drive that. We try to let the private sector drive that. We don't offer incentives for restaurants and things like that. So, you know, that's kind of a market driven. As far as the downtown restaurants, I mean, what we want to do for downtown and for everybody downtown is to try to create that destination, that place of choice. So the work that we're doing with the streetscape, the work that we're doing on Reilly Plaza, the work we're doing with the public art, you probably recently saw we did an event last week where we unveiled some new public art. It's really kind of cool, part of the Bicentennial Project that's going on. And we partnered with the Office of Community and Rural Affairs and Indiana Department of Tourism. And so we try to create that experience that so you can let downtown grow. And maybe we do get some of those unique ones like the farm to table that you talked about or those other kind of unique downtown restaurants. You know, Digby's opened up recently also, and Restoration and Heirloom and some of the different ones. And so, you know, our role in that, I think, is trying to help create the downtown experience by the way that we put in infrastructure and are able to help bring investment like the new 101 Main Street. because the goal is that you've got to get a certain mass of people that actually live downtown. I mean, you need people to come downtown also, but you need a certain concentration of people that actually live downtown. And so we're working on that with this project, another, a couple others we got going. Of course, the Centennial townhomes have really taken off. And so I think that's our role that we play to help all downtown downtown businesses to be successful, is how we help facilitate that. Maybe not be the driver. The market's got to drive a lot of that, but we can help be a facilitator and fill the gaps to make that possible.
Yeah, and on the idea of the market driving things, two questions. One, you talked earlier about the luxury accommodations that are going in there at 101 Main, and the question in that is, do you have the demand for 99 of those to be filled? And then on the other side, on the restaurant issue, I think about this. There's this chain restaurant that recently opened on 26 out towards the highway.
And Cheddar's.
It's packed every single day. And it's just a chain restaurant. There are tons of them in town. And yet it's impossible to get a table there without a long wait. And I'm wondering, does the market just bear that that's what a Lafayette consumer wants?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think, you know, we've had good economic development growth. We've had a lot of jobs announcements. And so that drives people to look at investing in your community. We still have lots of inquiries, not just for restaurants, but for lots of different potential development. And to answer your question, downtown, I think there absolutely is a demand. I think there's a pent-up demand for downtown living. You know, John Schumann recently opened his new apartment complex there. I think with this development that Craig's doing, he's done the market. He knows there's demand. I think you'll see, you know, I'm not at liberty to discuss in great detail, but I think you'll see some other announcements of potential projects for downtown that help bring people downtown and to give them a place to live. I think there's still a very, very strong demand for downtown living.
Is there a density of businesses downtown that people can use to stay there? For instance, if you're downtown, you're not near a supermarket. You have to go a little ways to get to a supermarket. Is that the kind of thing that you might have to bring in your next term in office to try to have that concentration of downtown living?
We would love to have enough concentration to bring a supermarket to downtown. There was a small grocery store downtown several years ago, if you remember, and it didn't stay in business for a long time because there wasn't the density then. But we've made huge strides in the number of people that come downtown and the number of people that live downtown. And with the next couple developments, it would be my sense of it that we would be getting closer to where that would be a commodity that would be able to be supported downtown, because that is really based on volume of people. I mean, and you need a fairly consistent volume of people. So I think we're getting there. I think the downtown's moving in a very positive direction, and we've got next year the next large phase of a streetscape coming into play. We're very excited about that. We're going to work very closely with our downtown businesses to help them get through that project as easy as possible, keep their customers coming in, and really we hope to grow that. So as we come out of that project, downtown is even in a better shape than when we started.
All right. Well, Mr. Mayor, thanks as always for your time.
Thanks, Dan. We appreciate it.
We'll do it again next month.
All right.
This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. A reminder, all of these programs are archived on our website at WBAA.org. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Support for Ask the Mayor on WBAA comes from your membership and Butler, Fairman & Seifert, a civil engineering firm providing communities with professional expertise and guidance. Butler, Fairman & Seifert, civil engineering solutions for better communities. BFSENGR.com.